This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
A lot of discussion, and it's very interesting to see, because I followed this whole process around what was going on in Israel and I think it was in different stages. I think that the bombardment that Jews felt and the ferocity, the viciousness, aggressiveness, and hatred that we felt right at the beginning, I know caught me off guard. And you're starting to see people coming back now, finding their voice a little bit more, being more assertive. But we need to look at our own responses. And I see that Australia is doing exactly the same. Should the community have done more in response to the latest Israel-Hamas hostilities? Give me the thought process and the discussion in Australia.
First of all, so the background to what the community did in response to the latest hostilities is that over the years, there have been a number of outdoors, and I emphasize the word outdoors, public solidarity rallies with Israel. So during the 2014 Israel-Hamas war, which I remind listeners ran for 51 days. I mean, that is a long time. That's almost 2 months. This war was only, I put only in quotes, 11 days. That was 51. And so here in Sydney, there was a mass outdoor solidarity rally during that time. And in previous years, there have been. So when this latest round of hostilities began, there was discussion both in Sydney and Melbourne, which is where 90% of Australian Jewry resides, in Sydney and Melbourne. Should there be any rally at all? And if so, should it be indoors within a synagogue or outdoors? So that right there was a cause of contention. People strongly wanting outdoors, some strongly wanting indoors, some wanting nothing at all. And so what happened was that there was Central Synagogue, which is the largest synagogue in Sydney, takes 2,000 people in the main synagogue plus another 500-600 in halls within the building itself. So it can take a good 2,500, and then, you know, you have COVID to think about as well. So there was a solidarity rally inside Central Synagogue, which had approximately, depending on who you ask and which report you read, around 500 people, I understand. Mm-hmm. I actually was out of town at the time. So 500 people, and the numbers there reduced because of COVID. In Melbourne, there was an outdoor rally, but in a suburb called Caulfield, and Caulfield is where the Melbourne Jewish community lives in Caulfield. So now, since then, there has been an absolute upsurge of debate, criticism. In fact, the headline on the front page of last week's Australian Jewish News was a damning headline which said, "Trembling Israelites?" Now, Israelites is referring to a quote. I know that is Israelites is, you know, the people who left Egypt were Israelites. Uh-huh. And that was a quote used by a former Jewish leader, who've actually spoken about in this program, a great Jewish leader. But he was criticizing British Jewry way back when in the 25, 30 years ago for not standing up proudly, loudly, on behalf of Israel. And so the editor of the Australian Jewish News, and I declare I used to be the editor many years ago, wrote an editorial on the front page saying, "Trembling Israelites? Were Sydney Jewry and Melbourne Jewry both trembling Israelites because of the way, A, in Sydney it was indoors, and then even criticizing Melbourne Jewry, even though it was outdoors, but criticizing them for having it in the heart of Caulfield and not elsewhere, and not bigger numbers. And then, and apart from that, just one editor, but there have been letters to the editor, there have been phone calls, there have been discussions. And what just adds to the whole issue is that for the last three consecutive Saturdays, there have been several thousand people taking to the streets in the heart of Sydney, strongly anti-Israel. And I'm talking about Hezbollah flags. I'm talking about an Israeli flag with a swastika in the middle of it. I'm talking about pretty horrible demonstrations. Pro-Palestinian is one thing, but these were horribly anti-Israel for the last three consecutive Saturdays. So people in the community pointing to that as well, to, you know, look what the other side is doing, as it were, and look what we did. So the discussion is not over by any means. And there's a lot of strong feelings on both sides.
That's really, really interesting, because it highlights a number of issues. Number one is, do we really think, have we ever really been about our numbers? Just look at Israel in the neighborhood that it is in terms of numbers and in terms of geographical space. So my concern is, we will never get enough people, because we aren't enough people to counter what we will see on the other side. And number two, I just wonder if this whole protest standing there with flags thing isn't completely dated. I don't know. I can't get my head around it. We had the similar thing here where the pro-Hamas supporters in fact came into the Jewish neighborhood. So that was a little bit different. And yes. Of course the question was how to react. And because they were coming in, it was decided that there would be a pro-Israel, event, which wasn't to be, it wasn't really very well publicized at all because of COVID. We're at that stage in particular heading into the third wave, so there was a lot of concern about it, but of course safety was the big issue here as well, so as I would imagine it is everywhere else in the world, and exactly. So the numbers were completely disparate in any event. So I don't know if it should ever be about the numbers, and I don't know anymore if it should be about these, what I think are ridiculous protests. I don't get it. I must be honest. I feel like it's so 1980s, these protests. Maybe 90s. Maybe early 90s. I'll give them till 1992. Beyond that, it's done.
And a lot of people endorse and echo exactly the point you made. So first of all, you touched on security. Of course, that is an issue, always has been. And then there's another issue here, and that's something which certainly I, for one, and many leaders here in the community have been very mindful of. And it's a generalized statement, but it does hold water. And that is, Australians generally do not appreciate it when you import foreign conflicts onto the streets of Sydney. And so if there's a scene on television where you've got anti-Israel protests over there, you've got pro-Israel protesters over there, the response generally is a plague on both your houses and go back to where you came from.
Well, I will tell you that although everybody is trying really hard to import it here, I think that's exactly the same thing. And in fact, there's a South African activist. He used to be an interesting guy. He seems to have lost his mind a little bit over the Israel story. And he tweeted yesterday, and this is a rational world, used to be, I've done a little Twitter experiment. The moment I mention a certain ME, in other words, Middle East leaders, in a tweet, or include the word Palestine, and uses stars and not to write out the whole word in the tweet, I get suppressed. I've been looking at engagement figures. There's definitely a soft censorship going on. What he doesn't realize is nobody cares about this conflict here. South Africans are in the middle of a third wave. We have got unemployment through the roof. Our kids are hungry. Education is a mess. Infrastructure is falling apart. Try as you might to import the Israel-Palestinian conflict here, nobody cares, because we've got real issues. He's taken it as Twitter suppressing him because, as he says, I guess, this is his quote, I guess he who pays the piper calls the tune, as the saying goes. Obviously, horribly anti-Semitic. But I think your point is right, is that people in a country, in Australia and in South Africa, simply don't care about this conflict as much as protesters want us to think they do.
Yeah. I personally endorse that. And when I was part of a discussion of a dozen community leaders prior to this, I was against taking to the streets for a lot of the reasons that we've just been spelling out. But it has not stopped, obviously, the debate, and there are letters in the Jewish media here saying, I mean, and I find this particular phrase so offensive.
I also do. I think it's absurd.
Exactly. Are we cowering away like they did in the 1930s? I mean, that is so offensive to those who had to cower away in the 1930s. And to make that comparison is outrageous.
And I would add further that if we don't want people making Nazi and Germany comparisons at the drop of the hat, then we should be very careful about doing the same. Absolutely.
Exactly. 100%.
Vic, we covered only one of the three topics, but it was a very important and very, very interesting conversation. I do have to leave it there. Unfortunately, it's about to go to our news headlines and our news. I do apologize for that. We'll catch you next week and we'll continue our conversation about these and other very important stories.